Welcome to Book Notes, the Ohio Channel's conversation show where we look at Ohio authors and books about Ohio. New York Times bestselling author Paula McLean's first novel, Like Family, was a personal memoir about growing up in the foster care system. She has since delved into the genre of historical fiction. Her most recent novel, Circling the Sun, chronicles the adventures of 20th century aviator Beryl Markham. McLean currently lives in Cleveland with her family. And Paula, thank you for joining us today.
It's my pleasure.
Now, I usually like to talk about the mechanics of writing, but I don't think we can really get into the mechanics without talking about your starts and your very interesting early life. How much do you think of the whole foster system, all of this, how much does this still kind of feed into the way the subjects that you pick or what you choose to write about?
I think the how I grew up, my Dickensian childhood, so I spent 14 years in the California foster care system, has much more to do with my my imagination. You know, definitely impacted the kind of reader I was as a kid, very kind of susceptible to disappearing into other worlds. You know, I ate my lunch in the library every day and only made friends with librarians, and became the kind of reader that was just determined to be completely swept away by a story. And I'm also that kind of writer. That's what I go looking for. I go looking for the experience of being transported.
Why the writing life?
Oh, I mean, I think I was always writing when I was a kid. I wrote poetry. And I wrote poetry as a way to just express some of the more desperate feelings I was having that I didn't know how to communicate to anyone else. And then I was 19, you know, I had a poem taken by Cosmopolitan magazine. That was really my big break as a writer. For whatever reason, I had the cheek to send a poem to Cosmopolitan. They actually took it and they paid me $25. And that had a lot to do with, I don't know, my identity. I just sort of started to talk to myself as I'm a writer. I'm a writer. Somebody must be taking me seriously. It was a little bit later that I stumbled into a creative writing class for the first time. I was about 24, kind of a late bloomer as a writer. And then from then on, just kept at it. Went to graduate school at the University of Michigan, where I studied poetry. But when I was at the University of Michigan, I started to have conversations with my peers, other people in the writing program, who, when they would learn about my childhood, would say invariably, you should write a memoir. You know, you should write a memoir. And I said, you know, I don't write sentences, right? I write these tiny little lyric poems. And I didn't know how I would sort of make the leap from writing poetry to writing nonfiction. I had no experience at all with prose. But that was sort of freeing, actually. I just thought, what's the worst that could happen? And I just basically started writing scenes. I had no idea what I was doing. I had no idea what I was doing. And I actually think that was perhaps the best thing that could have happened to me as a memoirist, that I had no big literary ambitions. I just wanted to try it.
So you were just loose and it was...
Absolutely. Really... That whole arena of play for writers is super important, I think.
Well, you can read more about her life in her book, Like Family. I encourage you to go on buy it and read it right now.
thank you.
So, Beryl Markham.
Yes.
Circling the Sun, your most recent novel. Wow. And I was telling you this before the show started, is that there were times I forgot that Beryl Markham is this real character because it's almost like you can't believe her. Everything that happened in her life, everything that she does.
Yeah.
Why? What attracted you to her?
She was a fluke. Beryl was a fluke. I actually had no idea who she was. I didn't know about her accomplishments, and I didn't know about her 1942 memoir, West with a Night, until a few years ago. It was sort of in the spring of 2012. I went on vacation with my sisters and my brother-in-law. My brother-in-law is a doctor, but he's also a pilot. And as we sat by the pool that weekend, he was reading West with the Night, which I had never heard of before. And he kept saying, you need to read this book. Like, this woman is phenomenal. She's so incredible. There's really nobody like her. You need to read this book. I think you're going to write about her. People tell me all the time what I should be writing about. I ignored him. I ignored him, but he made me take the book home, and it sat in my house for a year and a half after that. And I didn't even take a look until one day I was desperate trying to work on another book that wasn't taking off. And I picked up and I read one paragraph, and that was it. Literally, I had such a strong reaction to Beryl's, her voice, like the intensity. Have you read West with the Night? Have you?
No. Okay. I want to do that now after reading your book. Yes.
It's really extraordinary. Mostly in West with the Night, Beryl is writing about her adventures. Her adventures as a pilot. So she was one of the first female pilots in the world. She was one of the first women to get a commercial pilot's license. She was a bush pilot. She was sort of a badass, right? And she tackled all kinds of things that women in her day and age simply didn't do. What you don't get is Beryl's personal story. She's not interested in giving us her biography. She'll tell us about being a horse trainer. She was the first licensed female racehorse trainer in the world when she was only 18 years old. She gets attacked by a lion. I mean, all kinds of crazy things happened to her. She was such a wild child, and she ended up being truly one of the most extraordinary women who ever lived. She'll tell us about her adventures, but she's not going to tell us anything about her personal life. She was married 3 times. There's not a single mention of a husband in West with the Night. She had a child. She doesn't mention the child. Oh, there are almost no women in West with the Night, and there certainly is no mention of Karen Blixen, who later wrote Out of Africa under the pen name Isak Dinson. And in fact, I know from researching Beryl's life that she was involved in a love triangle with Karen Blixen and the safari hunter Dennis Finch Hatton.
Yes.
Exactly.
And I actually want to talk to two of the phrases you wrote that talk to exactly that. Actually, three. Only the vanished truly leave their mark. I've sometimes thought that being loved a little less than others can actually make a person rather than ruin them. And then we can only go to the limits of ourselves. I've learned that, if nothing else. Any more and we give too much away, and then we're no good for anyone. How does that happen?
Yeah, I don't know. There is something. You know, obviously, this is not Beryl. This is me sort of climbing into the vehicle of her consciousness.
Your mother walked away from you.
Exactly.
So all of a sudden, there's this mirror, right, that's happening?
Absolutely. It's a mirror. And, you know, if you read my own memoir, Like Family, which was published in 2003 by Little Brown, you would probably have the experience of feeling as a reader that I'm uncomfortable talking about my own experience of loss, particularly my mother. So my mother abandoned me when I was 4 years old, the same way that Beryl's mother abandoned her when she was 4 years old. My mother was gone for 16 years, came back when I was 20. Beryl's mother came back 16 years later when she was 20 as well. And so obviously I'm attaching to her experience and connecting in a pretty profound way, right?
Yeah.
And building out her life from that original wound, right? So these statements that I make in Beryl's voice from her point of view are things, you're totally right, that I could say about my own life, and they're awarenesses that I've come to and kind of truths that I've arrived at as a human that I give to Beryl. I can speak through her voice kind of in a way more comfortably than I can speak in my own voice about big, lurching loss and upheaval and catastrophe. Absolutely. So much easier to do it in a mask, you know, sort of putting on a role. Totally. So I'm just going to be reading a passage from my novel, Circling the Sun, which is from the point of view of the aviatrix Beryl Markham. And this is just from the beginning of the novel, sort of early in her African childhood. Before Kenya was Kenya, when it was millions of years old and yet still somehow new, the name belonged only to our most magnificent mountain. You could see it from our farm in Njoro in the British East African Protectorate, hard-edged at the far end of a golden stretching plain, its crown glazed with ice that never completely melted. Behind us, the Mau forest was blue with strings of mist. Before us, the Rongai Valley sloped down and away, bordered on one side by the strange, high Menengai crater, which the natives called the Mountain of God,
and on the other by the distant Aberdare Range, rounded blue-gray hills that went smoky and purple at dusk before dissolving into the night sky.
Do you have like a daily ritual where you will write for 3 hours or do you like it? Do you like writing, or is writing a struggle?
When it goes well, I like it more than anything else. Uh-huh. It's the most fun I have. It's also the thing that I do that makes me feel most like myself and the most made use of. When it's not going well, it's like death. It's like beating your head against a brick wall. It's just so horrible.
What's the percentage, do you think, of going well versus the struggle?
For me, it's all about a subject. So when I was writing the Paris book, 7 months door to door, the draft came faster than anything I've ever written before. The first time I wrote a novel, it took me 5 years. Oh. So there's a big difference between 5 years and 7 months. And I really attribute that to this idea that finding Hadley was such a fluke, and I'd never been to Paris. And yet, every day's writing was taking me to that world, and I'd never done research before for a novel. It was so fascinating to me to be in someone else's consciousness, to follow this woman, Hadley Richardson, to Gertrude Stein's salon, and to have the sort of confidence that I would know what she was thinking and feeling, or to introduce these characters. Here's Scott Fitzgerald in the Dingo Bar in 1925, and here's Crazy Zelda, and the characters were so much fun, and the world was so much fun. I really was completely swept away. And then for the next 3 years or so, I started working on another novel, a follow-up novel, and this one was about Marie Curie, and that was a failure. That was really a fail. I don't know why. Huh. Everything that had gone well for me with the Paris book, attaching to Hadley's point of view, sort of being electrified by her voice, sort of believing that I knew what she was thinking and feeling, all of that stuff, that level of connectivity, it's just disappeared. I just couldn't do it. It was flat.
How did you, detached. When did you find out in your process that you're like, okay, this is
the day I picked up Beryl's book.
Oh, really?
The day I picked up West with the Night finally and just had that. I mean, really, it's about as being subtle as being
struck
by lightning. I stopped. That day I started writing the other book.
So that book is
cheating
still sitting there.
Cheating on Marie Curie. No, seriously. Seriously.
Beryl would approve, I'm sure.
She would 100% approve. Yeah. Poor Marie.
What kind of advice would you give to writers just starting out right now?
Read. Mm-hmm. Read everything. Read your face off. And particularly in the genre that you want to publish in, that you want to get better in, and sort of read as sort of high up the ladder as you can possibly mm-hmm. read the book that you wish you had written.
Yeah, so what do you mean by high up the ladder? Model.
Oh, yeah, I just mean like as a reader, set your sights really high. Like read the most exquisite examples of the genre in which you're writing. The book you wish you had written if there was a God, the book that you could have written if you were writing at the top of your game. And then just keep at it. I really believe that, all the people who were in my writing program at the University of Michigan were wildly talented, mm-hmm. and yet only a few have gone on to publish. So it's not always talent that sort of makes it in the end. I think it has something to do with tenacity. Mm-hmm. Right? And that, you have to find a way to keep at it, even when the world tells you no over and over again, or you have to become a waitress for, half a dozen years and, schlep margaritas, live on minimum wage.
Awesome. Yeah. Well, we do this little thing. It's called a speed round, but it doesn't have to be speedy. I'm going to ask you four questions.
Sure.
And I'm looking for just kind of short answers here.
Okay.
Just to get into your mind a little bit here. So, longhand or computer?
Computer, definitely.
What are your favorite authors right now? What are your upper ladder authors?
Oh, goodness. So in historical fiction, I just finished a book which won't be published until next spring by the writer Helen Simonson, a historical novel set in World War I. I'm lucky that I get these advanced readers copies. So sometimes I read stuff that isn't out, and that's the book that I'm most excited about. The thing that's on my nightstand is often the thing that will be the book of the year, the next year. Yeah.
Do you have a tradition when you finish a manuscript, a ritual or a tradition? take yourself out to dinners or anything like that?
Champagne.
All right. So you're done. You type that period or whatever.
I like the words, the end. I'm a big fan of the words. It's exciting. It's exciting to see those 1,000 words a day build up into a book. Hemingway used to keep little sheets of paper taking notes of his word count every day. And so I do that. I note my word count every day, sort of where I'm at, 75,000 words, 78,200 words. And the more those words accrue, the more a book starts feeling like a book, the more kind of convinced I become at the fact that I'm actually writing a book. And so I love when they put the title page on there, and I love writing the words, the end. And then I go out, even if it's 11 o'clock in the morning, and find a really good bottle of champagne.
And pop that cork.
And pop that cork.
And the last question is, what would your writer self tell your younger self right now?
Keep going. Keep going. Things will get better. And you won't always have to schlep the margaritas.
Well, Paula, thank you very much for your time.
Absolutely. It's been delightful.
Her most recent book is Circling the Sun, and I guarantee you, if you read that, you're going to want to go back and read all of her other books, which would be a wonderful way to spend a couple of weeks. Thank you very much.
Thank you.